the guy's crazy. I don't know. I had cereal this morning. I don't know. Maybe the milk went bad or something. I'm throwing the ball to Tyler Johnson over at Jalen Darden any day of the week. It's one of the reasons people come to this podcast. They never know what the hell's going to come over these airwaves. So here goes.
Buccaneers fans, here he is. Roster cuts are in, and the sage of Tampa Bay sports is all over it. He's the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the sage. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. And we're all fired up, Ira. Things are getting close. It's almost September. And Bill Curry Ford, you know what that means over there, Ira? That means the incredible August offers are dying out. You got to get to BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. But what's not ending, Sage, is the $500 Sean Sullivan is giving you to order a new vehicle. Just that simple with their concierge service and no deposit and just tremendous service from Bill Curry Ford, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Ira, how is the old 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape treating you and your wife?
It's fantastic. Looks like a brand new model, runs like a brand new model. You know, you're talking about roster cuts. Well, what about price cuts that are going on at BillCurryFord.com. The showroom's looking better every time I go in there. And I think the fact that Sean's going to give you the best deal you could ever imagine, you owe it to yourself to go visit, talk to Sean himself. How many places can you go in and talk to the general manager? That does not happen. But it happens at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium, Dale Mabry, very easy to get in and out. They will take very good care of you.
Sage, I tweeted out a photo of you drinking a Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA from Big Storm Brewing Company. It's a little strong, 7% alcohol. That's not something that Sage handles a pint can too well, but he does get a little extra fun after he throws back a Bromosa. But I know you love the quality Big Storm beer, and you'll be drinking it all season long. September 18th. Is our first watch session in Clearwater at the tap room there. Great food. Can't emphasize the food enough. 1 o'clock kickoff, Bucks at Saints. Ira will be sitting outside on the patio, but if he's sweating his butt off, he might be indoors. And of course, he'll be moving around, eating your French fries and talking football with you, Ira. Big Storm beer. Are you going to drink some beer this season, or are you cutting back?
Oh, no. I got to go through everything they got to offer, Steve. You know, there's nothing better than watching a game with a bunch of Buck people. The oohs, the ahs, and let's be honest, the last couple of years, there's been a lot more oohs than ahs, two of the greatest seasons they've ever had in franchise history. It's a lot of fun. The environment is fantastic. People wearing Buck colors. I'll stop by for a picture. We have a great time out there. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, guard your French fries with your life, or just order some extra ones and then you're all prepared. Always a good time, bigstormbrewery.com. And Ira, it is that time of year, hurricane season. This is full swing now in September, full swing. We've been lucky so far. But if that damage comes through and that storm comes through, you got to be prepared. And part of that is knowing who to call. And that's Florida's Elite Restoration. The minute you have a problem, before you call your insurance company, you call them. They'll give you a free assessment, and perhaps more important, they know how to handle your insurance company so you don't get ripped off in your time of need. Owner Josh Martin used to be an insurance adjuster, 14 years. He's got all the experience you want in a restoration company, and he's giving your listeners, Sage, $500 if you get your free assessment and you tell them before you go forward with an agreement. If you're going to have them do work for you, you got to let them know. Ira Kaufman, JoeBucksFan.com. You'll get your $500 back. Maybe that's cash if you're paying, just for work. Or if you're going with a big insurance repair, maybe that's money you use toward your deductible. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. You've got it on your refrigerator.
You know, it's right there next to my appliance, man. You got to have these things. Steve, and you made a great point about Josh Moore. Steve, he's been on all sides of the restoration business. He's been on the legal side. He's been on the insurance side. He's been on the practical side. And that gives our listeners a huge advantage because he knows all the angles. And believe me, there's plenty of angles to know. So if you even think you might have a problem with a leak, with mold, Josh Martin, Florida's Elite Restoration. Has to be your first call, Steve. before you call the insurance company.
Yeah, and now he's on your side, FloridasEliteRestoration.com. All right, Sage, let's get dirty here on football. It's a big day for Bucs fans. 53-man roster is set. It's all at JoeBucsFan.com, of course, and we're going to run down some of the notable things here. And, of course, we expect the roster to change a little bit in the next day or so. By next week, maybe two different guys, three different guys. That's just how it works. But, Ira, one thing that happened today was Bruce Arians surprised the crap out of me and did a media tour. He went to New York. He's on First Take with Stephen A. Smith grilling him. He's on CBS Morning Show. He's on with Rich Eisen by phone. He's everywhere, which was a little bit odd. You know, he sort of stayed out of the spotlight. And now the roster's set. The season's ready to go. And now he's jumping back into the spotlight. I know he was promoting Healthy Cholesterol Month in September and telling a little bit of his story with cholesterol issues. But it was really very much football focused. What's your take on Arians jumping into the spotlight here at this time of year?
Unbelievable, Steve. A senior advisor on a press tour, a press junket to the Big Apple. I'm a little jealous because, you know, I always like going back to New York. Steve, I'm not like these ex-New Yorkers that can't stand, you know, I'll never go back there. No, I'm not like that. So Arians, you know, doing the car wash, Steve, doing the car wash. Surprised he didn't jump on Mad Dog Russo this afternoon. Although I think the doggie's out at the U.S. Open, talking to John McEnroe. You know, I'm not surprised in one respect. Arians, it's tough for him to turn down a microphone, Steve. It just is. If he's got an outlet, he's going to use it. And let's talk about some of the substantive things that that Arians touched on, Stevie.
Hey, Lee, what do you think about Arians, you know, jumping into the spotlight here when he's avoided it for a while? A lot of requests to interview him, Ira, over the many, many weeks. He turned them all down.
Contract. He didn't go up there for free. Contract. He was under contract with somebody, and they said, hey, you got to go up to New York in September, and I guess he figured this was the best time.
Lee's all about throwing the money, Stevie, and you know what? You can't go wrong with that, DeKemper. You can't.
Yeah, he was fronting, although I didn't hear him mention it. The only thing I saw thus far, I'll see the rest of it. The only thing I saw thus far was the CBS Morning Show that he was on. A loyal reader of ours tipped me off. The thing that jumped out at me, really jumped out at me. Now, Nate Burleson was asking him, you know, obviously the audience is not football-centric, so, and what does the general public know about the Bucs? Tom Brady. So they was asking how the Bucs were able to get Brady, and Arians said, there were three good quarterbacks that were free agents, and we did our due diligence. Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady. Wait a minute, Drew Brees?
Yeah. I don't know about that. But, David, it doesn't take it doesn't take much to get Arians to talk into a microphone. You're right, Steve. He's kept a low profile during Buck training camp. I didn't ask for him. I chatted with him once off to the side. Very pleasant. And as you mentioned, Steve, he got more and more involved as training camp went on. I hope he stays active because he's a wealth of knowledge, Steve. He's a wealth of knowledge.
Oh, absolutely. I talked to him in Tennessee. We talked about that. But today, Iris, so he sits down with screaming Stephen A. Smith on what we what we affectionately call at JoeBucsFan.com First Dump, one of Lee's best nicknames, top 10 all time, I think, top 10. So Arians goes to First Dump, and Smith bores right in on him. And says, look, I don't want to hear what you hope to get from the Bucs this year and this team. What are your expectations? Not hope. Don't give me hope. Give me expectations. What do you expect? And Arians goes into saying that it's probably the best roster they've had since he arrived. And then Stephen A. Smith sort of says, whoa. Are you saying this is the best roster? And he says, oh, yeah. Now, I heard that, Ira, and I was just like, how could he put that much pressure on his good buddy Todd Bowles saying this is the best roster when the team's coming off a 22-5 run? I just thought that was wild, Ira, for him to do that. Arians is pretty savvy. He doesn't want to necessarily, you know, throw gas on Todd Bowles' fire with the way the media is. And
it's interesting, Steve, but I wouldn't call it breaking news. The Vegas boys have spoken, and they speak loudly at one Buck place. 11.5 wins, favored to win the NFC. Over Green Bay, over Dallas, over the defending champion Rams and the Niners. It's already spoken for. Liso, in that respect, you know, whether this is a better roster than the championship team, I think it's a moot point, Lee. They're favored to be in the Super Bowl right now. After losing Gronkowski, after the shakeup on the O-line, they have the shortest odds in the NFC.
Well, what I took out of it, and it wasn't what Steve said, but Steve always has the more interesting angle than I get out of face value. I just took it at face value. I'm like, how could he say that? He lost a Hall of Fame tight end. They lost two Pro Bowlers on the offensive line. They got a better roster. Is Hicks that much of a difference? I just couldn't believe that he said that. It's like, actually, the first thing I thought of, I hate to say it, but was he hitting the bottle this morning?
Might have taken it a little far. I mean, Lee, to be honest, you know, they might be a little better in some areas, like depth of receiver. They added Jones and Gage, but we don't know when Godwin's going to be available. But potentially, when those four guys are healthy, Lee, that's probably the best quartet they've had.
Steve's going to stay next week. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but Antonio Brown was, you know, he was a big contributor in the championship season. He was.
Yeah.
Where else are they better? Well, Fournette's better now than he was in 2020, and he's the full-time number one back. Maybe Hicks, maybe. And I think the secondary's better, to be fair. I think the secondary is better. Even though they lost a good player in Whitehead, they're healthy. They added Ryan and Neal. I'm not giving up on Neal, Lee. I think if Neal's healthy, I think he can help a little.
Well, I don't know if this, Steve wants to talk about more about Arians, but this kind of dovetails into the roster. I'm starting to wonder why the hell I went out to training camp every day. I mean, I know
what you're thinking.
Tyler Johnson had a great camp. Logan Ryan had, in my eyes, had an excellent camp. The quarterback takes off to the Bahamas for 11 days, and it's like, well, what's the point? You know, Tyler Johnson's not on the team. Logan Ryan's not on the team, at least temporarily. And Brady didn't look like he missed a half hour of practice. He was so sharp. And I'm starting to wonder, are we that hungry for football that we're putting so much emphasis into something that doesn't count? And I guess the answer to that is, of course. But I'm sitting there wondering, like, I made sure this is the first year I think I've made every practice, and I'm like, what the hell did I waste my time for?
Tyler Johnson's wondering what the heck's going on. You got to think that.
Sage, let me set the table here for the people tuning in. Basically, the roster, the receivers who made it, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, Chris Godwin, Russell Gage, the final three, they went with seven, Jalen Darden, Scotty Miller, Rashad Perriman. Tyler Johnson was flat out cut after a strong camp, leading the team in receiving in the preseason, looking good, didn't get hurt, staying durable. Very interesting twist there. We'll dive into it. Logan Ryan, by the time people listen to this, it's possible that he'll be back on the roster, but he's not. They exposed him, and I think that's what's important to mention here. Yes, it's assumed that Ryan Jensen will, you know, because of the technicalities of the NFL labor rules, that he'll jump on injured reserve soon, and then the Bucs will bring back cornerback safety Logan Ryan, who was a big signing in the offseason. But when you expose a guy, there's always a chance somebody comes in and says, Logan, we'll give you an extra $2 million. Come over here. And all of a sudden he's deciding, for the next 5 months, do I go back to Tennessee? Do I go play here? And, you know, he's a guy with big dreams after football as far as his ability to communicate and his promotions and his sponsorship. You never know. So it's a little dangerous. So I think it's worth not ignoring that fact.
So, Steve, you're suggesting, and I think rightfully, that gentlemen's agreements are subject to change, right, Steve? Gentlemen's agreements. depending on what 31 other teams want to do with Logan Ryan. Look, Lee, we got every reason to believe Logan Ryan's going to be a Buccaneer when the smoke clears tomorrow, and Ryan Jensen will be on injured reserve. But it's not done till it's done, right, Lee? Now,
yeah.
What you're saying about Tyler Johnson, Lee, I was talking to somebody that's a Buck observer for a long period of time. This guy's got no axe to grind. We were talking about Tyler Johnson. This guy mentioned Jalen Darden, and he says, well, I guess they took Darden because he's their returner. And I said, he's a nondescript returner. This guy said, yeah, but he's their returner. And it's all it takes. He's their returner, for better or worse, and Tyler Johnson is not.
The only thing I can think of, and then Steve addressed this, and he said, I can't go there. I came up with the same idea that I guess some fans emailed Steve, but not in a derogatory manner. I'm thinking something perturbed the Bucks off the field. Now, I'm not saying he was up to, you know, shady dealings or anything. I'm saying maybe they didn't like his work ethic. They didn't like his head in the playbook. Maybe he was late too many times to practice. I don't know. I'm just speculating here. But it's just wild that, and in a second here, I'm gonna reinforce what I'm saying. It's just wild to me that a guy that had such a good camp and is such a good preseason and played at a key position with Godwin out, it's just wild to me that he's off the roster unless they have their sights on somebody else that they're going to pick up by the end of the week. I don't know that. That's a possibility. But I'm going to ask you guys this. Are they changing the offense? And the reason why I'm asking that is, Arians was very, very big on his slot receivers had to block. Well, outside of Godwin, their two best receivers blocking that played the slot are both gone. Tyler Johnson and the immortal Cyril Grayson. That sort of suggests to me that the offense is going to be changing.
Well, Lee, don't forget, you know, Godwin could be back, like, you know, week three. He could be.
Could be. But once again, you know, Tyler Johnson at one point was supposed to be Godwin's replacement if he left in free agency, because he could block so well in the slot. And Cyril Grayson, what do we hear Arians talk about? Oh, he's such a good blocker, which he was. Now you three of your best blocking wide receivers that all played that slot are now unavailable. So that tells me there's something changing with the offense.
Well, I wouldn't tinker too much with an offense that averages 30 points, Steve. I know they don't have Gronkowski this year. Steve, I got a question. Check your memory, Steve. You got a better memory than me. I'm in decline, Isbits, as my listeners know. Steve, am I wrong, or wasn't Tyler Johnson singled out for not being in shape?
Yep.
That was last training camp. He reported out of shape. Arians was public with it, and he got in shape and, you know, lesson learned kind of thing, and that was it. I mean, he wasn't iced out. He caught a bunch of balls last year. He played in every single game. I don't think that carried over. He came in fantastic shape, you know, visibly superior shape. So I don't think that was a factor. Just to go back to what Lee said, Russell Gage is known for being able to block and being that versatile kind of guy. He's not Chris Godwin or anything like that, but he is somebody who can do that. But so I don't think they would necessarily change it. I don't know. It is a little wild though that he's out of here, but I think it comes back to what you said last podcast, Ira, quoting the sage, and I agreed with you. I think Tom Brady made these lower end receiver calls, and because nobody separated himself on special teams, they were able to just say, Tom, who do you want here? I mean, none of them are any good on special. Nobody's any good on special teams, or we don't trust anybody on special teams. So you pick. And he went with Scotty Miller, which doesn't surprise me because that's unique speed. And the Perriman thing, I'll go back to what I said when he was signed. While I didn't think he would make the roster a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, or yesterday, when he was signed, they gave him guaranteed money. And the fact that they brought him back in March said that Tom Brady loves the guy. That's why we're rushing to bring back Rashad Perriman.
Lee, it's not a stretch to think that Brady's voice spoke the loudest on these
as
final
cuts. Yeah. Well, about Perriman, to be fair, the only time he's ever had success in the NFL was with Leftwich as his offensive coordinator.
But it was with Winston down the stretch in 2019, Lee. Mostly.
Oh, yeah, and he played well last year when he was healthy. Remember the Bills game? He won the Bills game.
Being realistic, guys, as it sits here right now, you know, the Bucks go to opening day. Good chance Rashad Perriman doesn't even have a helmet on. He's inactive. So we can scream about it, but ultimately right now, these are the decisions, and, you know, he probably won't be playing for a while. And, you know, we'll just see. But it is pretty stunning, Ira. Tyler Johnson, you talked about the investiture. We sat here and believed that he would be on the team. Young guy. I mean, when's the last time? We love to play this when's the last time game. I think it's what old guys do, but I don't know what it is. When's the last time, Sage, that you can remember where a team essentially has a 24-year-old receiver who's durable, healthy. He's got a Super Bowl ring, made some big catches. He's got 55 career catches, had a great training camp, and led the team in the preseason, and he gets cut.
It does lead you to believe there are extraneous factors, Lee, in terms of attitude, work ethic. We're not privy to that, Lee.
Yeah, we're just speculating. We don't know.
Lee, I'll say this flat out. I don't care if Jalen Darden's listening. In terms of being a target for Tom Brady, I'm throwing the ball to Tyler Johnson over Jalen Darden any day of the week.
Oh, yeah, he got open.
And that's a great point, Ira. And I think but 8 out of 10 Bucks fans would say, if I got one receiver to pick and I got to complete this pass, I think they would pick Johnson over Darden. And he's not a very good returner. So it's a little weird, but that's the way it is right now, Sage. They did stick with four tight ends. We had thought maybe that would change. They went with the four tight ends, a rookie Cole Kieft, Kate Otten, Kyle Rudolph. Of course, this could change if they sign an offensive lineman tomorrow or get a couple or who knows what. They did make a deal. They traded Grant Stewart, the guy with the long hair, Ira, that you used to have back in 72. And he was the last pick in the draft last year, Mr. Irrelevant. And I think it's worth noting, Ira, that Jason Light, he drafts the last dude in the draft, Mr. Irrelevant, and a year later he trades him to move up and get a sixth-round pick from the Colts in 2023, a quality return on a guy who gave you good special teams last year.
Nicely done, Mr. Light. Nicely done. You and your staff do your homework. You're right, Steve.
So, Sage, anything else stand out to you on the offense?
Well, yeah. Duck up won the job, Lee. Nobody's shocked. Lee, they took your advice. They stuck with suck up. You like reliability, yeah?
Yeah, Borealis never really gave him much of a choice.
Sage, the cornerbacks, Carlton Davis, Sean Murphy, Bunting, Jamel Dean, the rookie, Zion McCollum, the sixth-round pick, great athlete, but he popped his hamstring in Tennessee. We haven't seen him since. And Dee Delaney, a face that we've seen before. Obviously, he's got some comfort in the system. Todd Bowles trusts him, and we've heard it's a difficult system for cornerbacks, and he's at least he's been in there and done a few good things for sure, but he's not much of a special teams player. What are your thoughts on the corners, Ira?
I'm looking hard at Carlton Davis, Lee. I'm looking at him, and I'll say this. If he's this top five corner that he's cracked up to be, which I think he's a little short, I don't put him in that category. But the Bucks like to proclaim him such, Lee. And if he is, I want him shadowing C.D. Lamb September 11th.
He probably will. Because,
and I hope he does. And I think he would want to. I think he would accept that challenge. I think it was interesting that you guys pointed out in one of your stories about Rondé Barber talking about DBs. You can't be elite without forcing turnovers. Of course, he was masterful in that regard. He was. And the Cowboys have a second-year corner who has 11 interceptions as a rookie, even though I think the guy can be beat because he gambles a lot. I know Carlton Davis wants 6 picks. Let's see if he can get them.
He's got to learn how to catch. I don't know if he ever will. I've read something before, something like since 2019, he's led the league in pass defense. Pass defense. Kind of a good quote. Number one, it's a sign of a guy who gets tested. Well, he gets tested because he's always going up against the number one receiver. Number two, a guy who gets the job done more often than not. So,
I like his attitude, Steve. I don't think he gets down on himself. Every corner's going to get beat. Look what happened to Ramsey at the end of the Rams playoff game. Got beat by Mike Evans clean. No excuses when he was trying to protect the lead. Everybody gets beat, Steve, at that position. Mental attitude is critical, and I give Carlton Davis high marks in that regard.
He's an excellent cornerback. It's just a question of how good is he. We've had this argument before, this debate. I did think it was fascinating, Ira. That's why I wrote it up. That now, understand, Rondé Barber is working for the 33rdteam.com now, doing some analyst work, and this was a pre-recorded video, and he's at home doing this video, looking into the camera. I'm sure, you know, Rondé is a meticulous guy. I'm sure he probably watched it back to see if he liked what he said and submitted it, and they edited it up and make it pretty. And he's new on the job. He's probably you know, he's a focused guy. He's not a blabbermouth, although if you listen to him on WFLA broadcast, he said a few weird things this year, but that's live TV. It's different than pre-recorded. Pre-recorded is a little different, Ira. He looks in the camera and he says, having good cover skills and being, you know, to take away one side of the field or whatever really means nothing to me if you're not taking the ball away. Turnovers dictate outcomes, et cetera, et cetera. That's a really harsh statement. And Carlton Davis, as good as he is, Ira, I mean, the hard numbers, 6 picks in 56 NFL games, that's not a good number.
Steve, that's almost a shocking statement to me.
It is. I find it ridiculous, but it's still Rondé Barber, and my point is he knew what he was saying. I don't know. What do you think of that, Ira?
Well, this is the guy, Lee, that I, you know, presented twice for the Hall of Fame and believe with everything I've got that he belongs in Canton, and I'll be back doing it again in January. Well, Lee, I can't agree with Rondé. Now, of course, he's, you know, forgotten more football than the three of us combined have ever learned. We know that, but Lee, what does that say about a guy like Revis? I mean, Revis's claim to fame, Lee, wasn't a guy who was getting 8 interceptions a year, partly because they didn't throw against him, but he did take away half the field in his prime. 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it was a hell of a prime, Lee. And that is a tremendous advantage for a defensive coordinator to have a guy like that. And you're not basing Revis's, you know, contributions strictly in terms of interceptions. So I would like to hear a little bit more about what Rondé meant by that, Lee, but taking away half the field, that can't be overstated.
Yeah, there's something else that Rondé said on the 33rd team that really unnerved me, and it had nothing to do with defensive backs. I guess he's talking about if you're going to rank cornerbacks, that he can't go with a guy who doesn't get picks. And that could be a little ego involved there, you know, because he got a lot of picks. And, you know, I sort of understand that. Here's what's unnerved me, and I really wish he would have said this on one of those preseason broadcasts, but he did not. And this is also for the 33rd team. I don't know if it was a video or not, but they used this quote. The 33rd team Twitter feed used this quote, and I emailed it to myself to research it later. Rondé Barber said the best thing the Bucs can do is run the ball more.
Well, is that because of the offensive line, Lee? Is that what he's trying to say?
He says that will save the defense. I'm holding myself back not to freak out.
Steve, I'll take an offense that scores 30 points and take my chances with the Buck talent on defense.
I just want to praise Lee for his restraint and his decorum. Fantastic.
It's funny we didn't hear that on any of the broadcasts this preseason. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Which makes me believe Rondé was saying some highly flammable things to get eyeballs.
Steve, the Bucs are built to throw the football, and with this receiving group, that ain't going
to
change.
Well, to close the door on that, Sage, just looking it up quickly, Darrell Revis in his career, he forced 4 fumbles. Rondé Barber forced 15. Obviously, wow. You know, you had the sacks. He was a much more diverse player, but, you know, he had a few great years of picks, and Revis had a few great years as well. But beyond that, you know, Revis, plenty of years with 1 or 2 picks. Same thing with Barber, plenty of years with a couple of picks. So it was a weird thing to say, but reality is Carlton Davis, if he wants to be in that NFL top 100, if he wants everybody to call him a top 10 cornerback, he needs some picks, and he's capable of doing them. Just squeeze the football, and you know, it'll make a big difference for the Bucs if he can find 5 picks when normally he might only find 2. That's how you win some ball games, which is, you know, a big part of what Rondé was saying.
Another point that has to be made overall, and I think this is true. I think interceptions are down league-wide. They're down.
Oh, really?
Because it's much easier. Look at completion percentages. You know, mid-70s, guys were throwing 55%. And now everybody is throwing 65%. Picks are down. Used to be there might be 5 or 6 guys that had 8 or more picks. Now this guy, Diggs, came out of nowhere. For Dallas, people went crazy with 11 because nobody gets 11. Nobody gets that.
Interesting.
I just think picks are down overall, Steve, just like it is so hard to play defensive back in the National Football League.
Well, I mean, not to bring up a rough subject for a lot of Bucks fans or some bad memories, but it's a big part of why Jameis Winston's 30 picks were so eye-popping, because it just doesn't happen anymore. Yes. I think the second worst that year was Baker Mayfield with 17 or 18 last year. The interceptions leader last year, I believe, was Matthew Stafford through 20. A 30 was really eye-popping. I'd love to hear the truth on that one day. Eventually, somebody will open up and explain what they thought the problem was, whether it was Jameis's vision or, I don't know, crazy stuff. But Ira, look, the roster overall, just keeping the bird's eye sage view. And a quick reminder, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you start shopping. BillCurryFord.com. CURRIE. Just check it out. See the offers on the website, Bill Curry Ford, and then reach out to Sean Sullivan, the GM, if you need a hand. Sage, overall, the roster, it's a little younger than it has been in the past years. They are relying on a lot of young players. Overall, what's your feel of the roster, bird's eye view?
Steve, it's a strong roster overall, and they have Tom Brady. And I think you got to mention Brady in that first sentence. Lee, he was just ranked by his peers as the number one player in the league when he was 44 years old. Last year. I mean, just think about that kind of an accomplishment. If they don't have Tom Brady, it's a 7-10 team. If they go to Gabbert or Trask, that's what I'm saying. If they don't go out and get Jimmy Garoppolo or something. With Brady, they're expected to win 11 or 12 games. I got them at, I think 11 is a good number with a very tough early schedule. It's a good roster, Lee. I do think there are some problems up front, but I think the presence of Brady gives them a very good opportunity to manage those issues. If it wasn't for Brady, it would be panic in the streets in Buckland. It would be.
Which would be like the par for the course. There's panic every year.
But he can handle a blitz, Lee. An inside blitz, sending six guys. I mean, the ball comes out so damn fast. He goes through those progressions so damn fast, Lee, that I think after week five, teams are going to realize we can't do this.
You bring up something interesting, Ira, and I can't remember who I read this from. They were kind of assessing the Bucs offense and the offensive line. They were saying the Bucs had the best offensive line last year. The best. I guess you could argue they had the best offensive line the year prior, when they won the Super Bowl. So with all these injuries, they go from the best offensive line to an above-average offensive line. And that's not going to be good enough for Brady?
I'm with you, Lee. Steve, I don't want to overemphasize this. I don't want to fixate on this. But watching Brady Saturday night at Indy, and Steve, you were there on the scene. I know it's only one snap. It's one single play. But, Lee, you saw it. Steve, you saw it in person. I'm telling you, that 20-yard pass to Julio Jones told me all I need to know about Tom Brady. I'm sorry.
The arm is still there.
A lot of sizzle on that throw, Steve. You saw it. It's one throw against, I don't know how many regulars were in on the Colt defense at that point. I mean, it was like the third play of the game. But, a long sideline pass, it's one of the key passes that GMs look for in young quarterbacks. Can you make that throw? And Brady can still make it, Steve.
Well, Ira, a true story. When that pass was made, I was eating a piece of pecan pie in the press box. And I was sitting next to a woman who is a news sports reporter in Indianapolis. And you know how it is in the press box. It's kind of tight. You got your stuff around, whatever. And I ended up eating, it was her pecan pie. Mine was to the left. I took hers to the right. And I did catch the play, but I realized what I did like a second later. And I focused a little more on the replay, but I did see it. But I thought you'd appreciate that story.
Lee, where are you going to hear stories like this? Where are you going to hear stories like
this? Hey, Ira, look, we were keeping this short and sweet. I know you have to go, so I'm going to ask both of you guys one question, same question. And it's going to be sort of a little tease because, of course, coming up soon, will be our annual predictions episode. Last year, I believe we got 18 predictions out of the Sage as what he expects during the season. And we gave ours, of course, Lee and I did. So this will just be a little bit of a tease, Ira. And then we're going to get out on this note and we'll save it for the next podcast. If anything happens big this week, we'll be back with a quickie. Ira, here's the question.
Wait a minute, Steve. Was that the quiz where I said Mike Edwards was going to lead them in interceptions?
Correct. Correct. Yes. Your hat is still hanging on that hook, Ira. So
thank you.
Here we go. Of the players on the roster right now, and given what you understand about how the Bucs may use these guys as we sit here, you know, late on the 30th, who are you worried about? Give me one player that you are worried about.
Devin White. He talks a very good game, Lee. He's a good kid. He wants to be great, but I thought he took a step back in many ways last year. He did not live up to my expectations. More importantly, his expectations and Jason Light's expectations and Arians. I think that's fair. That doesn't mean he had a bad year. So I'm a little worried about him, Lee, because I want to see all these things on the field, like you always talk about. I want to see better coverage. I want to see him get to the quarterback for the guy that blitzed more than any player in this league. I want to see him put some guys down, take better angles, tackle better. Lee's got the talent. I want to see if he can put it all together.
Lee?
Oh, I get the answer to this too, huh? This is with an asterisk. Robert Haynes, and I'm not talking about his ability to block. Everything I've heard from all sorts of Bucs people at every level, I can't imagine I'm getting snowballed that badly. However, Haynes, he seems to get nicked up a lot. I know, very short sample size. I'm not just talking about the game, but I'm talking about training camp too. So I'm worried about Robert Haynes' durability. We don't know that. That's a big mystery. He's never started before. So I don't know. Guy goes out there in a preseason game, he blows his ankle out. I saw him get carted off the field in training camp. Well, it was cramps. He couldn't come back. Little spot in the back of my head wondering, is this guy going to be able to handle 17 games?
All right, Sage, I'm going to give my guy, and while I do this here, I'm going to ask you to prepare your State of the Sage goodbye address. Not too long, Ira, but...
Steve, I got one.
All right, I'm just giving you a one-minute warning on your Sage address here. All right, Ira, look, this is a guy that I'm worried about, but I'm not as worried as you might be because the Bucs have other options. So you can't worry so much about a guy that, you know, we've got other options. And that guy is Rashad White. I haven't seen a rookie, if I'm objective about this, I haven't seen a third round pick with so much hype thrown at this guy, so much love. And he's the kind of guy, he seems like a great kid. He also hasn't met an interview that he doesn't like, whether it's Jim Rome or anybody. He'll talk to anybody at any time. And I'm not against that. I love when players talk. But if I look at this objectively, a rookie talks a big game, all this hype. And I think when the lights came on for me in preseason, he didn't squeeze a Kyle Trask pass that turned into an interception. He coughed up a fumble against Tennessee. He averaged 3.1 yards a carry. He flashed some talent, as a talented player should, but I've seen him drop some balls in practice, and I'm not convinced if they really are going to rely on this guy or really give him a big role early. I'm a little concerned, but they have other options. So if he's not up to it, okay, they can move on. And they won a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl without him, so I'm not too worried about it.
Good choices, gentlemen. Good choices.
All right, Sage, what say you, and we're out?
All right, Stevie. I am offering up, free of charge, to our thousands and thousands of listeners from Guam to Valrico. This is a public service announcement, DeKemper. Public service announcement. I don't do this too often. It's one of the reasons people come to this podcast. They never know what the hell's going to come over these airwaves. So here goes. In this crazy world, Lee, this crazy world that we live in, what do you need the most? You need a laugh. You need humor. And I've got just the guy for it. I've seen all of them. Lee, I've seen Sam Kinison. I've seen Andy Kaufman. I've seen George Carlin. I've seen Pryor. I've seen Chris Rock. I've seen them all. This guy is about as good as it gets. His name is Sebastian Maniscalco. He's an Italian from Chicago, Cicero, Illinois.
Cicero.
He's got three specials on Netflix, one on Amazon Prime. You can find them all over YouTube. The guy is fabulous. He's not overly dirty, but he's fabulous. He's a Seinfeld with a physical aspect that Seinfeld doesn't have. Try to watch this guy. I want to hear your comments. I want to see it. Sebastian Maniscalco. The guy is fantastic.
What the hell was that, Ira? Lee, I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say to that.
Well, that's why it was Ira. You don't know what he's going to say.
And Sage, while you were regaling us there with your paid promotion of the comic, I just took a little look to see in the history of the Ira Kaufman podcast how many times you've had a listener from Guam, and I was able to pull that up, and I'm not joking. I've been known to joke around, but this is true, Ira. In the history, the 6-plus year history of the Ira Kaufman podcast, there have been 127 listeners from Guam, 127 listeners. 127 listens. It could be the same guy the whole time, just edging out Romania at 123. So good job, Sage, and we'll see you next time.